Hey, what's up? This is Eric from WorskWatch, and you're experiencing Poppet's Corner.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Poppet's Corner, a brand new special one, as always. And I'd like to bring on the main man from Anger's Art and, of course, other bunch of other killer projects, Mr. Steve Gaines. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing very well. How you doing?
Doing well, doing well. And, of course, the main artist herself, main comic writer of Vampire Guardian Angels, Miss Leah Scott Price, is joining us today. Hi. Leah, how you doing? Thanks so much for giving us a few minutes of your time.
Thank you so much for having me, as always. Good to see you guys.
Always going to be always a good time when you folks are on the show and we get to hang. So this is no exception. I figured, Leah, you had a kind of a brilliant show topic, and it can branch off into so many different territories. And obviously with the passing of Trevor of Black Dahlia Murder, I think it could place some sort of role in that as well. And we could talk about overcoming adversity, and especially in this crazy cesspool called the music industry. So if you guys are ready, I'd love to get started and just we can hopefully share some stories that we've been through and how we overcame them and things like that, just to inspire people in a positive light. So yeah. My first question becomes, when I was interviewing you, Steve, a few years back, you had one of your, and again, it's just for educational purposes, so don't take this the wrong way, but there was a time in your life where you were living literally out of your car at a certain point. And I think you were, you're obviously doing some heavy drugs. I'm not too sure on that, but I know alcohol played a huge role with that. And one day you kind of just snapped your fingers and said, okay, I'm done. I'm going to change my life in a positive way. So I'd like to start with you specifically and ask where you were at in, what was it, 1989, 90, 91 era?
Well, we can actually, the event you're talking about when I was living in the car was the tail end of 85, first part of 86. So it's back about that far when it happened. It wasn't drugs, but it was definitely alcohol. I never really got into drugs, fortunately. I think I tried a couple of drugs, didn't like any drug I ever tried, so I never got into them, which is, I'm grateful. But, because that could have ended badly. But, okay, I'm sorry, I'm running away with this. How did you want to approach that?
So I wanted to just take me back at that specific time in your life, that specific thinking, and the event that kind of changed it all for you and how you kind of 180'd yourself into where you're sitting today talking with us and whatnot. I'm sure we've all had this moment where it's like we have two choices. Either we go down this path or we inspire people and go down this path and change our life for the better and grow as human beings. So when was that specific moment for you personally?
I think the specific moment, I didn't live in my car for a long time. It was only about a week and a half to 2 weeks. But prior to that, I was doing the couch trip, going from place to place, conveniently showing up at friend's house when I knew their mom was going to be cooking dinner, that kind of stuff, hey, as long as I'm here, can I take a shower? And hey, man, you mind if I borrow your bathroom? And that kind of, I was that guy. It was not good. So what happened was at the same time, this was actually like December of 85 into January of 86. So it was winter. It was cold when this happened. I ended up getting sick as a result of it. I'm not eating right, living in a car, and just being sicker than a dog with nowhere to go. And my folks, who had moved down to San Diego at the time, you never want to admit, you never want to raise the white flag and say, I give up, I need to go home. But I literally needed to go home and literally learn how to wipe my butt again. It as blunt as that can be, because I had been surrounded myself with people. I was surrounded by what I would call yes men. Everything was, oh, you're great. Oh, you're this. This is right. This is my tenure in Abattoir, right? And so for a brief period of time, I was making money doing it. And, oh, I was the classic story. I don't need to do anything. I'm going to be a rock star. And it all went sideways and south. And you start to realize that this is not the way to live. I need to learn how to wake up every day. I need to learn how to turn a wrench. I need to learn how to do something. And I'm grateful that my folks let me come back home. I was home for 6 months. In that time, I didn't sober up, but I managed to learn how to get out of bed, learn how to do a line of work, and started jumping up the ladder quickly at that. I had an opportunity to get back into the HVAC industry, which brought me back to LA real quick. And then, my gosh, I've been doing HVAC for 36 years now.
So let me branch off at this point with you. Sure. So it sounds like we have a correlation in different circumstances, but the same outcome, where you put all of your eggs into this one basket, and it yes. kind of overloaded you, and you reached a certain point where you were kind of like, I'm done with this. Right. But, and I'm grateful that you had the support to go back to your folks' house. A lot of people might not have that support.
Do not have it, yeah.
Right. So you had the opportunity to do that, and it changed your life for the better. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how to help people in terms of, you know, if they don't have that support. I guess one would be, you know, having good people surrounding you, you know, yourself with. I would call them almost, you know, no people. Like people mm-hmm. telling you that, you know, you can become better, not just like you're the greatest of all time. So then there's no room for change, right?
Correct.
And I, branching off of this, I had a similar situation like that mm-hmm. a few years back. In like 2017, 2018, where, you know, I was burned out. I was physically and mentally exhausted for being in this one band called Madrast, right? Because it's like I put all my eggs in one basket, and I got the phone call. That's what changed my whole world and whatnot. And I can share the story, and it's, you know, hopefully it'll help inspire people, because the gentleman I'm about to mention is kind of a big player and whatnot. And to me, I had always wanted to be as massive as them, if not even bigger. You know, why didn't I get these kind of opportunities that these said people got? And who I'm talking about is the one and only Mr. John Keevil from Warbringer. And, sure. You know, obviously he had a similar situation that I had, and he's in Warbringer, you know. And I thought, because I guess I had posted something on the interwebs. And he was really worried about me and gave me a phone call actually when we were in the midst of interviewing you and Rob, Steve, at the Razor Radio Pad. That was the phone call I had right before we went on air.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, right before. Yeah. So again, it's a whole weird correlation, but you know, it was like I was exhausted. I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help myself. And that phone call kind of changed my life. You know, I owe a lot of things to John Keevil for reaching out and just knowing that somebody of that stature cared about somebody of, you know, of my stature, I would say, because I'm obviously big differences in terms of fan bases. And but the one thing I did realize that he said is, it seems like you're putting all your eggs in one basket. You need to diversify and do something else on top of that. That's mm-hmm. why I got into the podcasting and the radio yep. thing. And, you know, I went into that territory more rather than me having to rely on other people. I just said, fuck it. I'm going to do this myself and create exactly. something else yeah. outside yeah. of my main project. And I still love my main project. I still do the main project, sure. but I also like doing these other things. Right. And it seems like, Steve, you had that same story, only, you know, different way of getting there and that support and whatnot. So Leah, do you have a kind of a similar story with your whole thing? And I don't know how much you want to talk about, you know, health stuff or any of that, but, you know, can you give me that specific moment for you when you reached your threshold, as I'll call it?
Oh boy, where do I start? Actually, like you guys, I've never actually revealed this before, but in the 90s, I was also homeless. I was also couch surfing. And it was a very difficult time. I mean, I had just gone through a divorce from my first ex, and it was a nightmare, you know? So I was also suffering from PTSD, depression, anxiety, still am. Yeah. And I don't know how I did it. I mean, it took everything to not get on drugs or drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was amazing that I did not hang out with the wrong crowd. And I actually attributed it to I would say 6 points. One was, and it still carries on to today, is I start thinking of things in terms of as missions. I have to use some sort of creativity and imagination to do this. So every freaking single day, I am John Wick. I am going to go through each day on a mission. If I'm going to do laundry, it's a mission. If I'm going to do dishes, it's a mission. Because when you have depression, it's difficult to freaking even get up in the morning or even sleep at night, yeah, or even motivate yourself to get into the car and drive to work. So every day is a mission. Yep. And we're going to replace all the John Wick music with Madras Nenger's art. Okay. So, so that's basically what I do. So I imagine that my house or my apartment, when I come home, it's a safe house. Mm-hmm. So I complete the mission, which is work. And then I drive to the freeway, which is another adventure, and then get to home. That's my reward, is getting to my safe house. Mm-hmm. Second thing is, and I remember my brother, when I was deeply depressed and I reconnected with him, said, every day is a video game. You think of everything as levels. Right now you're in level 1, 2, 3, but you got to get past the demon that's in the corridor next to you. Mm-hmm. And that demon could be drugs, alcohol, homelessness, death of a loved one, even something as simple as, oh, someone stole my ID, you know, or ID theft, yeah, anything. And so I start thinking of that, you know, it's a road, it's a video game, it's this, that. And then the third thing I do is, no matter what happens, and I've had to do this pretty much all my life, is adapt. You know, if one way doesn't work, I got to adapt. And I remember, this is the conversation that started it, Tanner, was with DJ, when he mentioned that I had so many health issues, I couldn't do the Comic Cons anymore. So I adapted and brought everything online. Mm-hmm. So I have a digital booth. So now the latest one is that it may seem so trivial, but it affects your life so much, is that I have all these freaking allergies, food allergies, heat allergies. I mean, I can't even wait. And to women out there, I can't even wear makeup anymore. I break out completely. Gotcha. So I have to adapt and change my style. I'm like, oh, well, okay, makeup less. Yay. Who cares? I don't care what people think. Yeah. You know, I'm just going to do this for my health and do a completely different image. You know, so you adapt. You start thinking of other ways to change yourself for the better. And then other things was, I did everything I could to avoid negativity, mm-hmm, and stuff like that. But I also tried to avoid toxic positivity, and we can touch on that later, because that is probably even worse negativity, right?
Toxic positivity? Yeah. I've never heard that term before.
It's basically if you're so positive that you just ignore every other problem. You start thinking that everything is so fine and, oh, we're going to get through it, but you don't really think about what you have to do or what the dangers are or what the steps that you have to overcome. It's almost like we have in, I'm Filipino. So it's in the culture, we have this attitude that's called bahala na, which means God wills it. So it's nothing bad, but it's more like, oh, the house is falling down. Ah, bahala na. It's like, it's, you know, you're trying to be so cheery and positive about a situation, but you don't address the problem.
Yeah.
Or everybody around you keeps saying, oh, it'll be okay. Let's, you know, everything's fine. Just woo-wee. No.
Another term for that is Pollyanna.
Yes. Yeah. 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 So I had a lot of that going on. Sure. Like, I would try to, like, say, okay, I'm depressed. I have anxiety. Oh, it'll go away tomorrow. You know, drink some tea. Dude, that does nothing for people who are afflicted with, you know, especially if you're like bordering on jumping off a cliff, which so many times I was. But there was the last one, and I think this is the most important thing that everybody has to have in their life, is have something that you have pride in. I don't care what it is, but you have to find something within yourself that you have something to be proud of. So for me, I always thought of, let's say, me personally, it would be like my ancestors. You know, education, my great-grandmother's sister founded a university. You know, my mom worked hard to, you know, protect the historical foundation, all that stuff. And I drew from that. I'm like, I am better than this depression.
Yeah.
I see what, let's say, my ancestors or my family have gone through, or my friends or other people have gone on to do things like, you know, they want to cure cancer, they want to be doctors, or they even just starting a band, anything that gets you up and going and you have pride in inspires me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's the pride within that you have to find. And every day I keep that within me. Like if I start comparing myself to someone, oh, he's better. Oh, that's a better band. Oh, that's a better comic artist. But then I think, no, I created something myself and I can be proud of that. Or let's say even something as simple as like, say, oh, my boyfriend's going to leave me for another woman. No. I'm way better than that. Hey, you know, I'm unique. I myself, no one else is like me. I have this strong inner strength that nobody else can replicate. You know, it's stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is exactly the thing that carried me throughout my entire existence,
yeah,
you know, through homelessness, through this and that, it's like, I can be better than this, you know? So I don't know if that makes sense, but it's kind of like, yeah, kinda like a pride. You carry this fire in you, this drive.
So how do people find that, maybe that haven't discovered that, if that's even a good question, I have no idea. But when you don't have that or aren't even thinking of that,
right,
where is the first step to even go to discover that within yourself?
I think that for me, I had to hit rock bottom.
Yes.
I had to be in a place that was just so dark and so painful. And just at that point, I was like, I can't do this. I can't hurt anymore. I have to get up off my ass and find something.
Yeah.
So this, let's go back about 2017 when I divorced from Mike Naz of Enthraller. He's still a great guy, you know, I have nothing bad to say about him, but that period of separation was probably the most painful in my entire life. I mean, for 4 years, I was just a wreck, a mess. And it was also over a cat. If anyone had a pet and you're separated from that pet, oh my God, that was like, I couldn't function. I was so worried about the cat. And it's things like this. I mean, it manifests depression, anxiety. It manifests itself in several ways. And that was one of them. So that was, I don't know how I got up every single morning, went to work, did this, did that. And it came to the point where I was just ready to climb up to the top of the roof and jump off the building. It was at that point I said, no, I can't do this. This is not right. I am hitting rock bottom because I couldn't function. I couldn't make decisions on my own. I was so desperate that I finally reconnected with my family after 20 years.
Wow.
Finally called my mom because she and I had, you know, some issues, but I finally called her. And the one thing that brought it out of me, and this is what I'm saying, that you have to find pride. It was when she asked me to research my family history. Just do it. And I did. And it was I spent 3 months and built an entire website because it was just so fascinating. Wow. That it occupied my mind. And then by the end of the 3 months, 4 months, I was like, why was I going to jump off the roof again? I don't remember. What happened? So it doesn't have to be a family history. It doesn't have to be anything. What I'm talking about is distraction. You distract yourself with something so interesting that you preoccupy your mind. And all of a sudden, that chapter in your life allows you to move on from that pain. It's like you're climbing out of a hole. Yeah. And each time you're looking at, oh, this is interesting. Oh, my God, I didn't know that. Oh, boy, I want to be like that. Or, wow, this is, you know, this is just, this is something I can be proud of. This is what I come from, you know. And so you're going, well, I don't want to let my ancestors down.
Yeah.
So it's, that was for me, that was, I mean, for other people, it could be something else. You know, it could be you graduated from college or you had a kid or you had, I mean, it could be anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying you just have to find something that will pull you out of that hell.
It's true.
It is. Oh my God. You know,
see, and this is a huge, huge deal. You know, I think this is very important for people to talk about this because, yeah, we're all human beings. At the end of the day, people forget that. Yes, we're killer musicians that write songs that people enjoy listening to. That's a great aspect and a great contribution to the world that we provide for people. But at the end of the day, those players making those songs are human, just like you guys listening to it at the end of the day. So.
What happens when you go back to your place?
Yeah.
What happens?
Right.
Right. Do you hit rock? Do you feel something, or are you bolstered up, or are you way low down? You know, that's what I wrestle with every single day. I mean, what you see right now is I may be like, oh yeah, happy go lucky. The minute you were off here, I'm crawling in the corner, all like huddled in a fetal position, crying.
Leah,
it's nothing that any of you did. It's just me.
Leah, if I can jump in for a second, you have no reason to go crawl in the corner. What you've just done in the last, we've been on 26 minutes. What you've just done for the last few minutes here is an incredibly brave share. It shows a lot of strength in your character, strength in, you know, your will to fight for fight for yourself. And I just wanted to give you kudos for that. I mean, you got no reason to sit in that corner. Even though I know you probably will. And I am.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's just.
go to the corner, get toweled off, and then come out swinging. That's what you do.
Yeah. That's why I have on my to-do list at work. It says to cry.
You know, there's something to that you're hitting on is so many people, Western culture, American culture, you're taught to not acknowledge your emotions.
Oh, Asian.
Don't acknowledge you're sad. Don't acknowledge you are angry. Don't acknowledge you're this. Don't acknowledge you're that. The problem is that festers and that grows and that allows an enemy in. Right. And that enemy will sit there and that voice will sit in your head and say, you're not worth this. You're not worth that. And it's by design. It's just, I think if everybody could learn that, but how do you get them to learn that until they experience rock bottom? That's the thing.
Yes. But
Man, oh man. Yeah. Okay. So I see where we're going with this whole, with the whole topic. Yeah. So good. Yeah.
Yeah. It was more of talk about it.
Yes.
I mean, my biggest thing is I had to talk about it. I had to finally say something. Yeah. And I didn't care if I made posts on Facebook that you see. It's like, I'm depressed. I'm anxious. Yeah. I don't care. This is how I look when I'm anxious. You know, so it's harder with Asian culture, too, because a lot of you. So anyway.
Sure. Let me branch off of a point that you just mentioned. You said you're posting on social media, and I think social media has played a huge detriment into the mental health field for people.
Right.
Like to me, to a lot of people, it's the echo chamber, right? It's like when I would post something for like the band and whatnot that I worked so hard for, and I believed in it so hard, you know, like that I would post it and I would get like two likes or like two comments. And I'm like, does anybody even care? But then I started to realize the only person that matters is I have to care.
Yes.
I could give two shits if anybody cares about it, because my goals are a little bit different than other people's in this industry. Like, to me, I'm trying to build a legacy for myself. And I came to the realization, like, and it's funny that Leah keeps mentioning DJ Gunderson from Dismissed, we played multiple shows with back in the day from the Hoagie Barmichaels, you know, 2008, 2009 period of my musical career and whatnot. And I kind of forgot about those times. And it was just nice to reconnect with those and get a piece of me back. Right. And what that taught me is that I should be really, you know, he goes, you should be really proud. I hope you take some time to reflect on what you've done in your career. And it's like, oh, I've never thought about that. Because I was always chasing the dragon to build my career. Like, I didn't, it's funny that I didn't even know I was building it. You know what I mean? It was just because to me, what Leah was saying earlier, I call them projects. I forgot what Leah called them earlier. She like goals mission. And missions. There you go. To me, I call them projects. So I'm like, oh, I'm working on this project within the realm of, and I'm going to keep mentioning it, you know, Madrost. I'm working on this said project and then this said project. So it keeps my mind healthy and occupied and something to look forward to rather than focus on what I've done in the past and why nobody cares. Right. That's irrelevant to me now because I'm here now working on something that's going to, you know, change me for the better and help me grow, maybe inspire others to do that same thing, you know, and put it all out there. Cause who gives a crap? Yeah. We're all going to be dead soon. We might as well enjoy it and do the things we want to do. So
hopefully
I think
not too soon. But
well,
yeah.
Again,
yeah.
You know, we think we live for eternity until it comes tomorrow. So, you know, I don't know. I just have to live my life a little bit differently, you know, and I think the most important aspect for me was having a good, healthy, strong mental palate.
Yeah.
Right. I think if you're strong mentally and have just a positive outlook on things and surround yourself with people that are positive, but also to Steve's credit, will tell you, you know, when you're fucking up or doing something wrong or can be better at this aspect and this aspect. But also just know too that people appreciate you.
Yeah.
You know, anybody watching right now or listening, people appreciate you without you even realizing it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a matter of you guys putting yourselves out there into the world. You know, like for me, when I go to a show or somebody and I get to see Steve Gaines and we get to hang out and we're all buddy buddies and it's like, this is fucking cool. You know, this is like that, and I know it doesn't seem like a big deal, maybe not to Steve, but or myself at the time, but you realize it kind of after that moment. It's like, oh yeah, this is why I do what I do.
Yes.
This is why and it could be any event, you know, you can go to the movies and you see your buddy or something. Right. It's like, oh, I haven't seen you in so it's long. And reconnect.
Even this is crazy.
Yes, exactly. You know? It's your community. That's the thing. Yeah. You are, you know, and you matter because you can bounce off of people. You can get their opinion. They'll get vice versa. Now factor in a worldwide pandemic where everybody's locked into their house for 2 years.
Oh, good Lord.
And
yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and believe me, you guys know that I could sit here and bag on the government. I'm not gonna, but we could talk about choices people in government made that.
Yeah.
What was the term I heard this morning that we, you know, you only hear, we're only now just discovering how bad that is actually going to be on people who are shattered, who are struggling every day to wake up and get out of bed and actually go out and fight, you know, go out and take care of those projects and missions. You know, how much did this set so many people back?
Yeah.
And then, then fentanyl blows up and, hey, this is available and I'm stuck in my house. What have we done as a society? Yeah. And it's just it's horrifying.
Yeah. And it's more like, you know, I mean, people would say, oh, you know, it's not that bad. Some people got laid off. I got laid off.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what I noticed, and also what I noticed about, you know, touched on the negativity in social media, is that people are out there who actually do care. I mean, I got offered a job with someone who, one of our vendors I worked with for 10 years. That was like out of the blue.
Wow.
Because they like what I do.
That's great.
Every day I tried to prove myself and improve my work. And also, like, every day on social media, I'm thinking, okay, I only get 2 likes on the comic book on the page that I drew. And to me, after a while, like you, Tanner, it's like, it doesn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. And what was funny was I stopped for a week and people started emailing me going, where are you? What happened? Okay? This stuff is so great. And I also discovered that a lot of people are sometimes just shy. They just don't want to say anything. You know, mm-hmm. they just hit like, or they just like to admire it, you know, without being on social media.
And again, so, not to cut you off, but it's the same thing with being a musician. But I recognize this now, just how vital and important Poppet's Corner is to me now, in the fact that I get to keep, you know, having conversations like this and anything I want to do, but I can do it as much as I want or as little as I want. But I think my whole point to this is you got to keep busy.
Yeah.
To me, it's what's keeping me going still is like looking forward to stuff like this that we're doing now and my next interview and then the next show and the next recording or it's always about keeping yourself busy and just looking forward to being like, you know what?
Right.
It doesn't matter if people aren't paying attention. As long as you keep showing up, someday people might, you know, remember that what you've done or maybe not, but at the same time, you're having fun. So who gives a shit?
I think a bigger thing in that is it has to do with whatever you create, whatever you do, whether you have a grip load of customers or just a handful of dedicated customers, what are you getting out of what you create?
Right.
Does it satisfy you? Does it fill that empty space? And that's something that I don't think a lot of people do. I'm not going to mention names. I'm not going to mention names. I know some people who are, let's just say they're rapidly approaching retirement age, who are still convinced that they're going to be on the cover of Teen Beat 16 magazine. I'm sorry, but nobody is going, you know, first of all, they didn't do it back in the 70s and 80s when you were so-and-so. Yeah. But man, it's not going to happen. If you're living for adulation, if you're living for the pat on the back, that's not going to do it. The dopamine hit you get from the congratulations is it passes in a matter of seconds.
Yeah.
Like Leah said, how are you going to feel when it's all over and you get home? We all go crawl to that corner.
Do
you crawl out of that corner and are you ready to fight again? It's tough. What do you do? Why are we not concerned? We're so concerned. Oh gosh, I can't do this without saying things are going to get me in trouble.
Beep.
We're so concerned about people's pronouns. I'm going to leave it at that. Okay. We're so concerned with crap like that, that we're not actually thinking about the actual health of a person. Are you okay? And you can say, well, yeah, mentioning pronouns means I care about them. No. Are you actually reaching out to that person, however they identify themselves, and actually offering a hug, offering an ear, offering a shoulder, and saying, are you okay?
Yeah.
Tanner, you just gave the example of John Keevil, reaching out to you. It's that kind of a thing. Are we doing that? Do we do that as a society? And I already know the answer, and the answer is, why don't we?
Yeah,
because I think there's a stigma attached to it that people are afraid of being judged. And I'm here to tell you that it's okay to be judged.
Right.
Who cares? You're never going to see those people ever again and if, you know, if they are truly your friends, they will support you.
Yeah.
I hate to tell people this, but you might be surrounded by some fake friends. You need to have some people that are real in your life.
Right. I mean, for me, it's more like when I had my health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing I realized was that in with some friends, you know, or past friends and stuff, if my illness is a discomfort and an inconvenience, then why are we friends? So that was my barometer of how willing are you to put up with what I'm going through?
Man,
I can tell you right now, no one's left.
That's great.
Just one person, and that's my boyfriend, current boyfriend, my family. That was just an eye opener. And I'm not saying these are bad people. I just think that a lot of people don't know how to deal with it. But when the going is good, you know, you're the life of the party. Yeah, they'll be your friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
I think it's only when it's a convenience to other people that's when they feel like they could be a part of it. When it's an inconvenience, then people go away.
Or if it's a transactional relationship where, hey, if I blow smoke up this person's backside, are they going to do the same for me? Right. It never can be like that. Sooner or later, you got to be able to sit in the same space with people and not say a word and just be there. Man.
I think it's when you reach that point though, you're super like comfortable in what you've achieved in life. Cause I'm there right now where I'm just like so proud of what I've particularly done. And, if I can help other people, you know, achieve what they, or, you know, get to that place as well, man, I would love to be a part of that person's, you know, and maybe I have been that guy. That's the dragon I'm kind of chasing, you know, going forward to an extent too, is like, I want to be the change, man. If you're, in order to have change, you got to be the change. So I think that's what we're doing here today. And having shows like this are super important. It was to me getting through the whole pandemic and constantly being, you know, interviewing you guys. And thank you again for giving me that opportunity to, to talk
Thanks
with
so
you
much for having us.
and, you know, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've interviewed the one person I wanted to, which was Frank Marino. And then, you know, it was like, oh shit, this is that was my peak. Now it's like everything else after this is kind of like a bonus. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in saying that, you know, I think everybody needs to be proud of what they've achieved in life. And if you're not at that place, find it, because it definitely will come, you know? So
it's like, you got to figure out what success means to you. Success could be, I just survived cancer, or success could be, I built my family, or I have a comic book, or I just made a nice little album. It doesn't mean Hollywood style stuff. Success is what you define it to be. If you're happy, that's success.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you scored a bonus at work, that's success. I mean, it's what you make it to be. It's not defined by anyone. Nobody wrote the beginning saying success is defined by this, and it's shown down from the heavens, and this is the contract. No, you know, and it's like, I hate that people would sometimes come up to you and go, oh, have I heard of you? I'm like, that's not my goal. I don't want fake people. I want people who genuinely like my work. That to me, if it's five people, that's success.
Exactly.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this too, because I tell people this all the time: is I'm grateful to not be super famous, because I don't know what the baggage is attached to being super famous.
Yeah.
Because what you see on screen or what you hear through a record and whatnot is just a part of that specific individual. It doesn't define them. I wonder what they gave up to get to that place. You know,
they really are.
Yeah. Well, not only that. Yeah, exactly. Because a lot of them have come out with terrible baggage that either, I mean, it's Hollywood is Hollywood for a reason, with the whole pedophilia thing. It's gross. You know, there are people, actors that I once loved that are, you know, now they're defined as that. The truth comes out eventually. Yeah. So in order to get to that place, is that what they gave up to get there? I don't know. I'm so glad I didn't have to find out. So
you end up in a world like that, Hollywood or whatever, where everything's permissible and nobody tells you no. And that's where the good little boy of Michael Jackson ended up having Neverland and a lot of overnight guests. And I'm still, you know, and make of that what you will. I didn't say anything too much, so I can't get sued. But the point being is that if you're surrounded by people that never tell you no, then you're going to end up going down a horrible, horrible road. And you see it often. And additionally, if you're not successful, if you're not popular and all of that, you go down a different kind of road, which becomes very destructive, self-destructive. And we just see it happen. You can see it happen on so many levels.
The other opposite of that, would be if you keep being told yes. The opposite of that is somebody keeps telling you no, but the drive, that's where the drive comes in. Yeah, I can do this. I don't need your permission.
Yeah, that's twofold though. The people that tell you no should inspire you to keep pushing.
Yeah.
But it also should tell anybody. It should also tell anybody this. Somebody keeps telling you no. It's like, well, wait, I believe this. I believe in this. I believe in what I'm doing. I don't care what you say. And in fact, Tanner, you said it earlier, but Leah, you said it earlier than he did. And it was, the quote was not caring what people think. I wrote, it's on my sheet of paper. I wrote it down. But that's just it. That's part
there you go.
That's part of the secret that I found out. It's not even a secret, but nobody knows it, is the minute you stop worrying about what other people think about you, and the minute you start thinking, okay, I know who I am, and it was important to know who you are.
Right.
But the minute you stop caring about what other people think is the minute you're free. You're free of all of that, and you can find yourself, well, I don't have to go to the corner today. Or that's the beginning, is when you stop worrying about pleasing other people.
Right.
It's so hugely important, and people just don't get it. They are, you know, the whole thing about, you know, you post something online and you only get 2 likes, like we're all talking about there. It's a dopamine hit, and it goes away so fast. What are we doing that for? I mean, you know, I hang pictures. I'm looking at my wall here. I'm hanging pictures in my house of things that I'm proud of that nobody will ever see.
Yeah.
You know, but it's my joy. I don't care what other people think, largely because of this. They're not paying my bills. They're not a dependent of mine, and they're not wadding up a ball of Charmin and taking care of other things for me either. Yeah. You know, I mean, the other people don't matter.
It's like they'll tell you what to do. It's like, oh, we don't like your comic. Well, are you even making one yourself, or are you buying one for me?
Yeah. How many have you bought in order to make it, you know, and not just mine, but another artist, you know? So, And I said, not that other people don't matter. Their opinions don't matter. So
sure. And Steve, let me go off of this point with you personally, is that what I loved about you specifically, and I'm going to tell you this time again, was you're not defined by one said album in your career. Like a lot of people, and I'm going to just throw it out there, that Avatar record, a lot of people in from that era, like, are defined by that. They let that album define them. Like that's their whole career. Some people only have done that 1 or 2 albums, you know, even after that. So, but what I loved about you is that, that's a part of me. Yes, I'm proud, but I have all these other things that I'm doing now, and I have a legacy for myself. So I just hope that you take the time to reflect on that, you know, and that you enjoy, you know, Vicious Attack, but you also enjoy the Anger's Art stuff and the Tactics era, and you're proud of all of it, no matter what the politics behind it are and whatnot. Just the overall fact that you made this, like, you know, you have a stack, you can have like a stack of albums and whatnot, be like, this is what I've done in this is my career. You know, you can pass it on to other people in your family and say, this is what I've done, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting. The thing I probably told it to you a couple times, Tanner, is what I always call the Al Bundy syndrome.
Yes.
And you remember this?
Yes.
Okay. So Leah, you remember Married with Children, the TV show. Yeah. Okay, so Al Bundy's entire life, hit the high point of his life, is the time he scored 4 touchdowns in a single game in high school. And he's never going to be better than he was when he was 17 or 18 years old playing high school football. That's it.
I know people like that. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Like, and
please move on, you know.
The Al Bundy syndrome is the best way I could put it. It's like you're going to have to continue to wake up every day, pull your pants on, start the car, go out and do something.
Yeah.
And nobody at the end of the day, there was a book I read or Reader's Digest or something. It was talking about some guy who ended up his journey into alcoholism. And he was some big CEO and he ended up living on the streets. And he got a job at a restaurant as a dishwasher. And of course, he got his first paycheck, went out and got drunk and, you know, shows up drunk. And the boss told him to go home, didn't fire him. He says, you don't understand. I'm this and I'm that. And the guy says, I don't care about any of that. I pay you to wash the dishes.
Yeah.
And it was the biggest cold water. That's what sobered him up. Somebody was able to smack him across the head and say, no, you know, who you used to be doesn't matter. This is who you are now. And that's how you start climbing your way back up. It's huge.
That, and that's the important thing about, you know, being humble is that, even though you start going at the top, you still have to be kind of humble, even though you're going forward in your career.
Yes.
Because and the way I see it is, I try to separate my lives. Like, okay, I'm the comic book artist, but at the end of the day, I come home and I'm just a normal, regular person. Absolutely. It's just, for me, it's a job.
Mm-hmm.
A comic artist is a job. I have my day job, and then I have this job.
Yeah.
So you kind of run yourself as like a little, in my mind, like a business.
Yeah.
And it's not anything, you're not a superstar, you're not a celebrity, you're not this, you're just trying to do what you love doing. And, mm-hmm. you know, you have to stay humble, because the minute you start saying, oh yeah, yeah, you want my autograph, you want the display. No, that's, you're not.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm trying to say. It's more like, just be human. Just be grounded. And you're not above everyone else. You're not.
Sure. And what I love about that, what you said, Leah, is again, you're putting different eggs in different baskets. You're not putting all your eggs in one basket to where you're being defined as just a comic book artist.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you have other things that you enjoy doing just as much as being, you know, your main thing, but you have other things that you enjoy just as much. And I think that was my whole point, to like find something else that will give you that said happiness in a different way, the same happiness.
Yeah,
but in a different, you know, avenue to what you love to do.
Right.
I mean, right. I'm sure Steve has other things he doesn't just play in one said band or two bands or whatever. I'm sure he likes going golfing or other, you know, whatever it is, bowling.
Bro, I went out golfing once. We were in a foursome. I had the fifth best score. It was terrible.
But you get my point, though. Like you found other things. I don't know what it is. Cooking. Whatever it is that you're into, right? So
there's more to life than just one thing. Like you said, you can't put all your eggs in the one basket. And the analogy would be like anybody that invests. From what I'm understanding, one of the big crypto things took a huge, huge, huge hit this week. I don't know what happened, but one of them like went all the way down to zero. So all these guys that didn't diversify and had all their money in crypto are now broke. What happened? Yeah. You know, then what? But any smart investor is going to tell you diversify.
Yeah.
So it's business 101. You know, you talk about it being a business. Yeah, like I'm sorry.
Or you can pretty much, you know, you like I said like earlier, you adapt. Mm-hmm. Like if one thing doesn't work, I tried filmmaking for a while. It was fun, but then I found out, you know, it's not really for me. So I'll go into writing novels. No, okay, comic book. Ah, yay! but it's like I'm not known for just one thing. Mm-hmm. I could do a multitude of things.
Yeah.
So I'm not stuck in that, you know, and I'm not going around going, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? I'm like, no, you don't want that. You want to be like, yeah, I'm a comic book author, but I'm also somebody's sister. I also work a day job, you know, and then I also do this. I also, you know, play golf. I also play tennis. You know, it's just like all these other things. You just don't want to be this one person nobody can relate to.
Right.
Because when you start getting, you know, your head up there, you become unrelatable.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you can't just relate to other people, which is just, you know, frustrating. Then you start seeing people as commodities or as future fans or as, you know, someone who's going to buy my stuff. No, you can't. It just let it happen naturally. Yeah. You know, if the people who like you, they'll come.
Yep.
Absolutely. I love it. Well, like guys, anything else before we get out of here? I think this was a healthy conversation that definitely needed to be had.
I've got something. I mean, so we talk about this, but if there's anybody who's going to be listening and watching, now that we've all three put our name on this, if anyone reaches out to any one of us individually and says, hey man, I'm hurting.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Are all three of us willing to listen?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's why I wanted to talk about this.
There you go. Know. And I mean, do we have, and this is something all three of us have to do individually, you know, in the areas we're in, do we have professionals, contact telephone numbers, places we can refer people to who maybe, because look, I mean, the fact is some people are really, really, really hurting.
Yeah. Right.
And that concerns me because, I mean, we're talking about, I'm sorry, I'm not terribly familiar with the Black Dahlia murder, but I know that Trevor's his name, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, Trevor's friend, is that right? So we all know what happened this week.
Yeah.
But what's sad is I'm not really too terribly familiar, but I start looking in hindsight and realizing how much that guy was actually reaching out for the last few
years.
He was crying out, and did everybody ignore him? That's, that kind of crap haunts me. Because I'm reading some of these posts. I mean, you know, they were up on like Blabbermouth and whatever. It's like, holy smokes, this guy was reaching out. Did anybody help him?
Yeah. sometimes people just gloss over it when you try so hard. You know, you could be reaching in so many ways and people just don't catch it.
Yeah.
They're not looking at that, you know.
That begs the next question. The next question is, are we really listening? Are our ears tuned to hearing somebody? And that's not just for the three of us. That's for anybody that may be watching this and or listening to this and thinking, wow, what about that friend of mine who said this over and over again? What do they really mean? It's worth reach out. It's worth the wellness. Yeah. It's worth so much.
I mean, we're not experts, but we can always say, hey, are you okay?
Yes. And if it's something we can't help with, we can refer them to experts.
Yes.
Man, oh man, is this, you know, it's concerning. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, the first place to start is having the conversation about it.
Yes.
I mean, that's the start. Right. Is talking about it. So I'm sure I can speak for all of us. We're not afraid to talk about it. We've had shit go on good and bad. We've enjoyed what we define as success. We've also are defined by, you know, I'll say it again and again and again. I fail every day in order to succeed. That's just what it is. I enjoy the as Lemmy said, the chase is better than the catch. And that's what I firmly believe that. So that's what's helped me specifically, is just knowing that, you know, I'm going to fail. It's a part of what happens. You know, I don't have, and the other thing too, don't ever have expectations. Because if you don't have, that was the greatest thing that I was told by my buddy Carlos from Bonded by Blood, was never expect, because you're never disappointed if you don't ever expect. And it's like, that's so true. That was a life-changing quote for me. So if that helps anybody else out too, you know, there you go.
Yeah. So I heard that quote a little bit different. It said, if you don't have any goals, you're never disappointed.
That's why I never have any New Year's resolutions.
Right. That is sarcasm. That's not serious. But
but I think this is a good place to end this particular episode. I want to thank you guys both, seriously, for coming on, giving us a couple minutes to do this. I think it was, again, super important. But before we get off of here, Steve, what do you have coming up? And Leah, let's go around the table and give out all the links and anything you guys have coming up or working on.
Well, Anger's still working on the album. We're actually like seconds away from doing the drum tracks. When the drum tracks are done, then everything snowballs and goes fast. So that, and I got some wind of some potential overseas trips, but I'll believe that when I see it. You know how those go. But the most important thing right now, as far as that goes, is just the music, just getting the music done. And what else? No, things are good. I'm not going to complain about nothing. I'm grateful for every day.
Yeah. Go ahead, Leah.
Me, I'm just working on my more full-length animation. So the usual stuff. I did some shorts, but now I'm kind of putting them all together.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Just trying to stay alive with my allergies. I can't even eat anything.
Oh,
so frustrating.
By the way, Leah, thank you for this wonderful shirt that all three of us are wearing.
Thank you so much for wearing it. Yay. Thank you. Appreciate
and,
it.
And so, Leah, there's no like issue number 11 or 12 or 13 happening?
No, it's animation now.
Okay, cool. So
it'll be more fun.
That's awesome.
Looking forward to it. Well, guys.
What about you?
I got a bunch of Madras projects coming up. So again, I've been doing a lot of archiving and reflecting in my period. And I guess a lot of people don't know the back history in the Madras catalog, with all the various lineup changes and all the recordings that we have just sitting in my vault. So I'm doing those right now. I'm putting out I'm going to be putting out a lot of stuff as far as the archives that totally unreleased. Nobody's ever heard it before.
Oh, that'd be it's going to be,
it's going to be warts and all, you know, there's a point where, you know, one of us stopped playing. That's going to be left in there. Cause who cares? I hope it inspires other bands to do that and not be afraid to put themselves out. And even if it's not 100%, it's still, I just think that's so cool. I'm a fan of those things when it comes to bands and whatnot. So that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm still in physical therapy, getting better every day, playing guitar every day now, which is a great thing for me personally. Haven't been able to do that in a year plus. So things are looking up, and obviously I'm doing more and more of these episodes, and just I don't know, I'm grateful for you guys, grateful to have people to do this and whatnot, and it seems like the show means a lot to people. I've been reading some comments, so thank you guys for tuning in, and I'm again, we're gonna keep rocking and rolling here, but for another episode of Poppet's Corner, guys, we're out of here.
Okay, bye.
Cheers.
See y'all.